Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these words of yours bless. Amen. I teach an online class for Concordia University in the Homeland Security Division. And last year, I got an email after giving this particular student 38 out of 40 on a major assignment. But I got this email not in gratitude for giving her such an outstanding grade, but to explain why I took 2 points off. And the strangest part about this email was it was sent by her mother. The term for this, I guess, is called helicopter parenting. When a mom or a dad is always hovering over their child as they grow up, controlling, protecting, directing, micromanaging their life. A bit over the top, you might say, and sometimes we've seen this in action. Often they write books. On the other hand, one of our TEDx speakers last week, Laura Peterson, heads an organization called Hands to Hearts International. And her whole thrust is for babies that aren't mothered at all, that they're orphaned or abandoned. And she goes to places in Southeast Asia and Africa and just trains people how to deal with children, simple things like touching them, hugging them, even calling them by name. It had never happened to some of these babies. And the result was she found out trying to find some way of measuring the effectiveness was that these babies stopped dying. All right, I know it's Mother's Day. How dare I focus on these drastic extremes of motherhood or non-motherhood. Today is the day we honor our mothers, not vilify them. But bear with me, there is a connection. I think that there's a lot of people in our world today, and maybe sometimes us, who think about God in those kind of terms. That he's either helicoptering or absent. That God's always buzzing around, watching, correcting, driving us to do things we wouldn't otherwise do, or God's non-existent. For all intents and purposes, dead to the world. Is it? Not of our moms, not of our God. We want this involvement in everything, so it begs the question, how would we like God to mother us? And in this morning's gospel, Jesus suggests just how that should be. And guess what? It all revolves around love. So I almost named this sermon the duh of motherhood, you know, but I thought that would be even worse for people. But the idea is that love is what kind of mothering is all about, and it should fit for God as it does for mothers. But with God, we should add those three words, how much more? Like I said, Jesus makes it clear that he's talking about love, and there is no distinction in the difference between the way the Father loves the Son and the way the Son loves all of us, his disciples. And he sees the ultimate goal of this relationship is that they, meaning us, might have his joy and our joy be complete. Which in my mind makes it a perfect theme for Mother's Day, to connect the two, Godhead and motherhood, and ask the question, how would we like God to mother us? Of course, with love. What kind of love? Jesus suggests that it's a love that is specific. I mean, the verse comes at the end of the passage we have in our gospel today, but it's really the primary message. Jesus says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Gosh, when I hear those words and apply them to my life and my faith, I'm actually blown away. God loves me. This isn't some generic, all-purpose feeling of goodwill for mankind in general. We are each singled out, individually, known, each and every one of us, chosen by God. Now for Amon, that chosenness starts with the blessing of life and the fetus in the womb. It starts there as they grow together. I mean, just imagine a kid to say later on, say 8 years later, says, "Guess what, Mom? I decided to choose you as my mom." She's probably, okay. But the thing is, she could say, "Nah, I chose you. I chose to have you and to care for you and nurture you before you even knew anything." How much more God's love of us? Because he chose us even before then. I mean, sure, we might think that we're the ones doing the choosing, you know. We decided to believe in Jesus. I opted to go to church. It's all my doing. But that's just as presumptuous as a child saying, "I'm going to choose you, Mom, as my mom." And in fact, God not only accepted us and chose us, God actually made us. And he knows us inside and out, all our faults and warts and failures, and he loves us anyway. Each and every one of us with all he's got. If you ask me, that's a pretty good way to be mothered. But secondly, it's a love that's always there. It never dies, never wanes, never fades away. The Bible has a neat word for that: abide. "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love." Abide. It kind of sounds like that word abode, right? A home. Abiding means staying, not going on vacation, not leaving, always being there. Jesus says we remain in his love when we obey his commands. And so in a sense, you might suppose, I guess it's conditional. It depends on how good we are, how much God loves us. And let's face it, moms can sometimes be that way. They seem to like us more when we do what they want than when we don't. But just as a mom will never going to stop loving us, doesn't mean, I mean, it means that they won't, that the love will never falter. They're just happier when we're obedient. True love is always there. How much more constant is God's? It's not contingent on our obeying his commandments. It isn't withheld when we sin. Jesus says that God's love abides. It's always there, waiting for us. Whenever we've wandered away, whenever we've turned our backs to him, obedience isn't required. Obedience is just that simple action where we put ourselves back in his abiding grace. It's when we maneuver ourselves back to where that love remains. And that love abides. What you said is a good way to be loved. Third aspect Jesus brings out is that love is a love that spreads. It comes to us, but doesn't remain there. It should go through us to other people. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." I mean, this aspect is so important, Jesus says it twice at the conclusion. He even says it's a commandment. Now, how often do you hear moms say, "Be nice to your sister. Take your little brother along with you." Or, "I'm beat. Will you do the dishes?" And you might not want to do any of that stuff, but you do it for her. I think it's really neat that God gives us, in his love, little jobs for us to do. To help, to work side by side, even if our contributions are minimal, to be partners in the enterprise. How much more is that true of his love for us that he does that? Abraham was blessed to be a blessing to the nations. Jeremiah was called from before the womb and said that I'm going to have my words in you that you pluck up and pull down, destroy, overflow, build, and replant. It's like out of love, we're tasked with helping God with the chores. And as Jesus stipulates, we do so not as slaves or servants, but as friends. It's all about love blossoming and bearing fruit, fruit that will last. Which, again, to me, is a pretty good way to be loving. And finally, maybe most obvious. It's a love that's sacrificial. Love will always cost us something. And the greater the love, the greater its price. Jesus says, there's no greater love than this than to lay down your life. Now, if nothing else, this day challenges us to think of all the stuff our moms have done for us. Stuff we usually take for granted the other 364 days of the year. All the sacrifices that mothers usually willingly, lovingly make for their children. But how much more sacrificial is Christ? That's exactly what Paul in Romans chapter 5 tries to emphasize. He says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, for the ungodly. Now granted, indeed it is rare that someone will actually dare to die for a righteous person, although no, for a righteous person one might dare to do so. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave up everything. Sacrificed for the sake of love. Sacrificed it for his children, even when those children act like his enemies. Which in my mind is the very best way to be mothered. You know, at the start of this, I used a couple of examples that I thought were the extremes of mothering. You know, helicopter parenting, absentee parenting. But the more I started to look at it, the more God's way of mothering is more extreme than either of those in its own way. It goes the distance and beyond. It's like that old hymn. It is a love divine, all our loves excel. But I did come up with a third option of parenting. From of all people, a rabbi from California named David Wolpe. And he looked at all the ways that people parent, and he suggested that maybe we try helium parenting. Here's what he writes. We should hold on to our children the way a child holds on to a balloon. Let them rise, float on their own, but keep a grasp on the string so they don't float away to parts unknown. The time will come when we need to release the balloon, but in the meantime, instead of hovering from above, we might be holding lightly from below. I kind of like that. And I imagine that that's the way God hangs on to me, giving me just enough rope, but a tug every now and then, never letting go, until that moment like Jesus on Ascension Day. That he lets us soar heavenward into his waiting arms. That's how I like God to be mothering me. May we be so loved and love one another just like that. Now with the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.